Hi, everyone. This is Drew. Hey, we've been providing authentic, in-depth interviews about spiritual stuff for over 15 years now. But there's a change a-coming. Now, if you've already heard this message, just skip ahead to the interview. But if it's the first time, will you do me a solid and hang with me for just a few minutes? You know, about 15 years ago, when I moved back to Canada after being a pastor in Australia, I realized that there was no way in the world that I should be in any form of spiritual leadership for so many reasons. But I think the main reason was because I've always struggled with belief. Now look, I'm still incredibly curious about what gets people through the night, and more often than not, it ends up being someone's faith or spiritual beliefs. So I created a radio show that set out to interview cultural icons and religious leaders, celebrities, and, you know, everyday people about what they believe, but more importantly, why they believe. And along the way, my faith has gone from simply being a noun to a verb. And I've also discovered that doubt is actually more compatible with faith than certainty. In other words, I no longer feel guilty about my doubts. So thanks for tuning in as I interview all sorts of people about all sorts of faith. I hope their journeys, no matter what they believe, have had a profound impact on your journey, and that your faith has also become a verb. Because, in my opinion, being spiritually neutral, that's an oxymoron. By the way, thanks to Joy Radio for letting me broadcast all of this spiritual tension, because I think this tension is where real faith is cultivated, in between hope and doubt. Together, Joy Radio and my team have created Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. Okay, that's all the kumbaya stuff. Now here's the ask. And I know, I'm the same. I'm rolling my eyes as well. It's kind of like when Wikipedia puts up that note asking for money every once in a while, or when your local publicly supported radio or TV station does one of those annoying fundraising campaigns. I completely ignore them as well. I guess my thinking is that an organization like Wikipedia probably makes enough money anyway. Or, worst case scenario, they'll find enough people to support them. But please, if you're a regular listener of the Drew Marshall Show, man, I kind of really need your help. The station I've been broadcasting on for over 15 years has never actually paid me to do the show. Instead, they've let me try to sell advertising. But that's been a little more of a challenge than I imagined, because religious advertisers sometimes feel that my show isn't religious enough, and quote-unquote normal advertisers sometimes feel like we're too religious. So it's been a long, crazy uphill battle over the last 15 years just trying to make a living in that tension. Trust me, I'm struggling to pay the bills just like you are. But as we start season 16 in September, we just found out something huge. Joy Radio will now be charging me for airtime. Now, surprisingly, this is standard practice for a lot of radio shows, especially on faith-based radio stations. But the bottom line is that there will now be an astounding 30% hike in costs for me. Ugh. Airtime's not cheap, and to be honest, finding even more advertisers to cover that 30%, it's kind of freaking me out a little bit. So, maybe you've been downloading our podcast and don't actually have to listen to the advertising that our radio audience listens to during each live four-hour show. And by the way, just so you know, any advertising we've actually been able to find has only ever covered about 70% of our annual costs. So the ask is this: would you consider going from being just a consumer of our show to becoming a patron? Would you mind throwing us a few bucks each month just to help us cover that 30% difference? Heck, you know what? If we can get enough patrons supporting the Drew Marshall Show, we could feasibly get to the point where we become completely listener-supported without the need of any advertising. Now that would be amazing. So, a patron. What? What is that? Well, a patron was the kind of person who allowed Shakespeare to create a product that also spoke of similar life tensions. Tensions that most people were living, but few were admitting to each other. A patron is someone who appreciates the product they're consuming so much that they're willing to throw a few bucks towards securing a future for that product. Now, just FYI, there are over 100,000 creators being supported by patrons through Patreon right now. So this is becoming the new way to say thank you to those who create the products we all consume online. Now, I fully understand the fact that I'm certainly no Shakespeare. I get that. But someone said to me recently that they would absolutely support our show monthly. Methinks there might be others. Yea, but maybe not. Let's findeth outeth. Yeah, I should never do that again. So here's the ask. Will you support the Drew Marshall Show $4 or $9 or $19 a month? By the way, that's American coin. So sorry to everyone listening from parts of the world whose currency is kind of struggling against the US dollar. But here's the other thing. If you cannot afford it, Please, obviously, no worries. When I used to be a pastor, I would say, hey, when the offering plate goes around, if you can give, give. If you need some, take some. So just take our show for free, guilt-free, if you can't afford $4 a month. Please. Because the conversations we're having in the Drew Marshall Show, I honestly feel need to be heard no matter what. Look, my dream is to have the most brutally authentic spiritual talk show in the world. And here's why that's important to me. Because I really believe that a key ingredient to spiritual growth is authenticity. And the tension of a brutally authentic spiritual talk show makes some people feel uncomfortable. But as far as I'm concerned, faith is messy and it can be brutal. But instead of looking the other way, our show dares to stare back into this beautiful mess called faith. So thanks for your support as we continue to live in the tension between belief and doubt, and while trying not to take ourselves too seriously along the way. Hopefully you'll laugh, sometimes you'll cringe, but no matter what, please know that what I care about most is brutally authentic spirituality. Now, go drink the Kool-Aid, will ya?
Cult reference!
And become a patron of The Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for listening. I'm excited to chat with our next guest, Tamara White-Wolf. She's a psychic, ordained minister, esoteric teacher, shaman spiritualist, and healer, and founder of Pagan Fest. And just before we continue with her bio, I want to let everyone know we are Facebook live streaming. So if you want to, I don't know why you would, but if you want to look into our studio and see what we're doing, Gord and I are going to look at the camera right now and wave. Gord, nice big wave. Thank you very much. Good. There's a wave from the intern. Well done, everybody. The Drew Marshall Show. We're on Facebook. You can creep on us. Now, Tamara, I met a couple of years ago, I think, and a lovely lady. I love chatting with her, and she joins us now. Tamara, thank you for your time. You are, where are you? Just outside of Barrie, is that right?
I am, just on the edge of Barrie, and thank you for having me here.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, you've got a lot of titles here. Psychic, ordained minister, esoteric teacher, shaman, spiritualist, and healer, founder of Pagan Fest. Obviously, one of the reasons you're on today is to talk about Pagan Fest, but before we get to that, which are you more of? A psychic, an ordained minister, an esoteric teacher, a shaman, spiritualist, and healer? Which one is your top one?
Wow. That's a really good question. I'm really just me. I guess I'm an artist. I'm an esoteric person. I don't know. Eclectic. That's why it's hard to choose one thing when you're enriched with lots of different types of creativity.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I've had a couple of psychics on the show over the years. I had Sylvia Brown before she passed, obviously before she passed. Although, maybe as a psychic, I could interview her after.
That would be interesting. I'd like to hear that show.
Yeah. I guess I would have to be the psychic if I would. No, that's a medium. Anyway, yeah, why are you a medium? Okay, hold on. Let's just define the terms here. So what is a psychic?
Oh, I really think that we're all a little bit psychic, to be honest. I just choose to focus on that part of my being and to consistently, connect with spirit or connect with energy source or the original source, so great spirit. I think that we're all like that. So as far as, what's the difference really between psychic and medium, I think people are directly connecting to those that have passed on the other side, where I feel I'm more connecting to, or prefer to connect to, the energy that is available to all of us at all times.
Right, right. You know that Christians kind of freak out a little bit about this stuff, eh? Have you had any Christians get up in your grill about all the things that you do, and they're angry with you or something, or they send you hate mail? I don't know. Have you had any problems with Christians?
First of all, I want to say some of my largest group of people that come to me are Catholic.
Okay.
And that's of the Christian sector, so, there's some good in that. And then there are some, I would say, fundamentalist Christian folks that are really, up in arms about reviving the pagan ways. And I remember the very first year we had Pagan Fest on the property, I had to call the pastor of a congregation to remove his people from the road.
Oh, they were blocking the entrance or something?
They were stirring up some dust, yes. And they weren't blocking the entrance, but they were, stirring up dust. And they were telling me they were going to do worse. So I just called the pastor, and he apologized for the behavior, made sure to tell me that it wasn't the beliefs of everyone in the congregation.
Huh.
There was always a small group of people who would, be more extremist.
Wow. Well, good for him. I think that was handled well by him. That's
very well.
Yeah.
Very well.
That's rare.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've been pretty lucky. Although, you know, if you're going to pick, to be really honest with you, the people that are more hateful are people who are more. I hate to define the name because it's not all that, but I found a lot of people who consider themselves to be spiritual very judgmental.
You know, can I just say I have found something similar in your tribe of people. You know, I've spent a chunk of time over the UK. I've interviewed a bunch of people from different pagan traditions. And those that I've interacted with, not the ones I've interviewed, but the ones that I've sort of interacted with on a casual basis, there seems to be a one-upsmanship thing happening. Oh, you do that? Well, I do this. Oh, you do that? Well, I do this. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I see it. And, you know, all I can say is, you know, we are spiritual people. We are human beings looking for a spiritual experience. And I really think that a lot of people are still, you know, unraveling the damage that has been done to them and have come to paganism as a last resort. And I'm serious. I've met a lot of people who were on the verge of suicide who found paganism to be more soothing and helpful, give them a little more security in the universe and more belonging. So they come to, you know, they're no different than any other sector of folks. You know, we're all trying to heal ourselves.
You know, it's interesting that you would say that again, because in some of the interviews, I can't remember exactly who I asked this question of, but I know they were, I think it was one of them was, I can't remember his name. He runs the witch store in Glastonbury. And then who else? I think Philip Cargom was another one. But my question was this, and I've received the same answer, so I'll ask you the same question. Tamer, I have been given the impression that many who join a particular pagan sect, a common denominator for a lot of them is that they're just trying to get a little power back in life. Whatever has happened in their life, they've been beat down, they've been bullied, they've been stepped on, society has neglected them, whatever. They're just trying to get a little bit more power back in their life. Is that fair? Do you see what I'm talking about there?
I see what you're talking about. I think it might be the wrong word.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I would use power because, you know, you got to know how to wield power, too, and it takes some time for that to happen. But I think they just want to belong. I think they're looking for somewhere where they resonate with.
Right.
Something. Like, for myself, I had a really difficult time choosing which genre I would follow. And over the years, I've studied and studied all different types of pagan ways. And I found that I couldn't really pick one. And the only one that resonated well with me was shamanism. And it helped me to focus on earth and sky and what that connection was. That's how come I named my store Earth and Sky Connection as well. Because I noticed that, you know, we really need to know what's happening around us as well as below us. So, you know, we're sort of sandwiched in the middle.
Yeah.
So really, if by choosing one faith, do I limit myself? Do I just go into one little pie of this whole, one piece of the pie when there's really this whole big pie? So I've had a really hard time focusing on one. So what I've done with Pagan Fest, if it's okay if I just go into that.
Yes, please. It's a good time to start doing that.
All right. So what I found and what I did with Pagan Fest, while I was standing in Earth and Sky Connection, my store, I met all these fantastic people that didn't know one another, and I thought what a great way it would be to create a festival so they could all come together and network and then share their gifts with the community. And all of them were different, all had different, you know, ways of looking at it, different genres. And yes, I've seen that my stick is bigger than your stick thing. I've seen it happen right in front of my own eyes. And sadly, you know, I've had to learn to understand that we're people before we're spiritualists, you know. So.
Yeah.
What I think Pagan Fest does is help educate people so that they're not jumping on the bandwagon, hey, I want to be a Gardnerian Wiccan. You know, maybe you want to be Odissean, and maybe there's another, maybe you prefer Druidism, or maybe it's a Satru, or maybe you want to stick with just shamanism too. So what I do here is give people an opportunity to be educated, to make educated decisions, to follow a path for education before they follow it for the purpose of their spiritual beliefs.
Okay, so paganfest.ca is the website, and how do you concisely describe to people what happens at paganfest.ca? Or at Pagan Fest, sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, we have three festivals that we operate yearly. One's called Seed Fest, another is Muse Fest. Seed Fest begins the year in the beginning of May. Muse Fest ends the year, so in October. And then Pagan Fest is always the third week in July, third weekend from Wednesday to Monday in July. And what we're really focusing on is in the first one, it's sort of a Beltane, and the last one, it's Samhain, Halloween, and in the middle one, it's Lunaso, or the second harvest in Canada anyways. And they're all fire festivals, okay? They're all meant to, you know, bring the passion of each other out and to share those gifts with one another. Sorry, I think I lost my train of thought. What was your question?
How do you concisely describe Pagan Fest?
All right. So it is three festivals. It is the Pagan Fest series, and our intention is to bring about and the old ways, the emerging pagan ways, to our community so they can, you know, find comfort in their alternative views with community in a spiritual way.
Okay, so much that happens here. And I went a couple of years ago just briefly, but there are workshops and it's a family-friendly community festival, right?
It certainly is.
Yeah. And so if you have any interest in Wiccanism or Druidism or, you know, shamanic stuff or Hermetic, Voodoo, Hoodoo, Christian pagans, which, by the way, there is such a thing, Christian pagans, which just sounds like an oxymoron because when you read the Christian scriptures, there are things that, you know, sort of talk about paganism as, well, you need to set yourself aside from paganism. And by the way, I just want to educate our listeners a little bit, not that I'm a huge theologian by any stretch of the imagination or historian, certainly, but... You know, people think, oh, no, Christianity was the first. Christianity was the first. Well, no, by goodness, not even, no. You know, if you have a Buddhist background or Native American interest or even Rastafarian and other pagan-sensitive, folks, if you want to become more aware, if you want to find maybe a group of people that believe what you believe, and by the way, just so you know, just because we broadcast on AM 1250 doesn't mean that, I mean, we have listeners from all walks of faith. I know because I've spoken to them. I've answered their emails. I've spoken to them on the phone. So this, for anybody who has any interest in paganism of any sort, this is where you want to go, paganfest.ca. Register, get your tickets. Tell me just a little bit about the tickets.
Thank you, Drew. And just so you know, we have a nickname for the pagan Christians. It's Pagrianity.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Sounds like you need some ointment for it, but yeah.
Well, yeah, you probably do. Okay. The tickets are on the website. There's all different opportunities. In fact, there's also pay what you can if you want to just come out and hang out on Wednesday, Thursday, and Monday. Otherwise, there's also camping all through the whole festival, 6 days, 5 nights. We have over 30 workshops, over 10 bands, a number of performances of other natures, like the fire performances, the water performance. There's a couple of other things, too, surprises along the way. We have a silent auction if anyone wants to offer anything to donate. And if your company, we'll get on our website and we'll list your name at the festival as well. Tuatha Dee will be coming, S.J. Tucker, Sophie and the Puffins, Mike West, Raven Black, Mickey Moon. Who else? Oh, David Hickey's coming. Can't wait to see some of these folks. They're fantastic musicians, also pagan folks, and we'll be doing some fantastic workshops and teaching some drumming. So we'll have some big bonfires and some drumming. And
well, let me.
There's an open stage too. If you have a guitar and a voice, there is an open stage.
Let me finish with this. Growing up in the evangelical Christian scene, I was taught to be afraid of you guys. I was taught that if I walked by a building and I smelled incense, that it was Satan. I now don't believe that. I think it's ludicrous. And I think even if you are a Christian and you have different beliefs, why are you so afraid? If your God is God, then what are you scared of? And by the way, this is, you know, you guys are, this sounds so trite and condescending, but you guys are people too, right? I mean, you're if there is a God and God created all humans, that means he created me and he created everyone at Pagan Fest. And I have just thoroughly loved getting to know, and I can say I have friends that are pagans over the last 20 years of my life. just love, you know, you guys, the pagans that I know have shown me more grace and love than a lot of the religious folks I know. So thank you.
Fantastic, you noticed. Thank you. We are love-based, we're earth-based. So I think that's how it really started emerging, is our concern for the earth, you know, what we were leaving for our children. We are not a fear-based belief system, which is what we found a lot of the other religions to be. We're more, you know, holding our heart in the highest place, trying to be in a positive way, you know, looking for reasons for things that happen. That's why I found shamanism so helpful, because, I mean, I've had a difficult life myself, and, you know, I want to know why.
Yeah.
That happened to me, and I had to go through a lot of things to figure out that that, you know, that garbage, that poop, basically, was good for a new garden. And so every time something nasty happened, I found a silver lining. And I think, you know, that nature has helped me release a lot of stress and difficulties, and I think that's what a lot of people are finding so appealing with pagan ways.
Yep.
Is nature is a big part of it, and kindness and love, you bet. And you know, yeah, many of us are psychic too, that's another thing, and that's only because we're embracing what spirit gave us. Hmm. You know, there is a truth to the fact that we only use so much of our brain. What's the other part? I think it was feared out of us to, you know, to not be in tune with spirit, so that, you know, we had to pay 10% to the church to tell us what spirit was saying, when all we got to do is sit and meditate and, you know, walk in nature to hear.
All I heard was that we only use so much of our brain. I think I use less than the average person. I think I'm in serious trouble there. Tamara, I am so looking forward to coming up there next weekend and seeing you again and meeting more from your gang. I guess I'm doing a little bit of an interview with you Sunday at 1 o'clock. Is that right?
Well, you can. However, I have a little surprise for you.
Oh!
I thought it would really be a good idea to put you on the stage and let you interview all of us.
How the heck am I going to do that?
Ask us questions and see who answers.
I like it. Ooh, I like that a lot. Ooh, I'm very intrigued. This is great.
Right?
Yeah.
I think you'll find a lot of wonderful things being in people's hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And I really think that'll be good for your show. Maybe one day when you can clip us all in. We have Character Films, who's also been following our festivals for the last few years and doing a film on us. And a number of other wonderful pagan groups, such as Wiccan Fest and Kaleidoscope Gathering, are also part of it.
Yeah.
And some key people that are Native folk friends of ours, Christian Dennis. So that's one anyway. So there's lots of wonderful opportunity for you to speak to folks, and I think that I'd like to give you that.
Thank you.
Since you're coming so far up here.
Thank you. That's quite an honor. Actually, it is. Because I know, you know, it's just like, why would you let some schmo come in and start asking questions like that? So thank you very, very much. It is a real honor. And I take it to heart. So we'll see you guys next weekend.
Look forward to it. It starts on July 18th to the 23rd. And we look forward to, we still have a few vendor spaces too, if anyone's listening and wants to come up with their artistic creations.
Okay. July 18th to 23rd on 7 Acres Pagan Fest, paganfest.ca. Tamara, thank you so much. Really good to chat with you.
Yes. Don't forget Barrie, Ontario.
Beautiful. All right.
See you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.